I think I got it. Has he been good to anybody in this place tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we give it up for the worship team? They're just so anointed. I love you guys. So good. Thank you all so much for your service to the King. We have been blessed to be here with you all, and we're just so thankful for what the Lord did this morning, and we believe that He's going to do more tonight. Amen? As I had mentioned this morning, I felt like the Lord had given me a theme for this revival. And the theme that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart was real repentance, real revival. Amen? And the scripture that I felt like the Lord laid on my heart is a very familiar passage, 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Does anybody believe we need our land healed these days? Amen. But let's get right into the Word of God. I would that you would stand with me for the reading of the Word. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Hebrews 10, 38 and 39. I'm going to try to slow down a little bit tonight, y'all. I lost my voice about 5 minutes into the first message. That's not good when you got to preach four more in 4 days. So, and the Bible says, we're going to be in the King James Version. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I would that you would remain standing with me just for a moment. See, church, there's a line being drawn, a spiritual boundary that cuts right through the heart of every believer. Not the line between church and world, but the line between living by faith or drawing back in defeat. Between reigning in Christ or retreating into compromise. We are living in an hour when shallow faith will not survive. The shaking is exposing whether we're built on rock or on sand. Amen? But God is calling His people to live by faith. Not by feelings, not by fear, not by flesh. It's not about whether you believe in God, but it's about whether your life reflects that belief. Are you pressing toward Him, or are you pulling away? Are you conquering sin, or are you coddling it? Are you walking in your God-given authority, or are you limping in spiritual defeat? But hear me, this is not a time to shrink back. This is not the time to slip into comfort. This is not the time to settle for compromise. The writer of Hebrews makes it clear, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. That's not a light warning, but that's a soul-shaking call to wake up and to step up, to take responsibility, to stop playing church and start being the church. Amen? So I ask you today, not to stir your emotions, but to stir your conscience. Are you reigning in Christ or retreating from His will? Is your heart surrendered or are you still living for yourself? Are you pursuing holiness or are you justifying compromise? Because one thing is sure, we're either moving toward God or we're moving away. There is no neutral ground. And I want you to know, this message is not meant to condemn, but to confront. It's meant to draw a line in the sand and to call you to choose your side. To rise up and reign in the power of the Holy Ghost. And to recognize that retreat always leads to ruin. But I believe that we are not of them that draw back into perdition. I believe God is raising up a people who will overcome, who will shine their light in the darkness, who will endure and reign in life by Christ Jesus our Lord. See, now is the time to rise and walk in the authority that Christ died to give us. to stop excusing sin and start overcoming it through His Spirit, to stop living for self and start living for the Savior, to lay down our idols, pick up our cross, and follow Him with fire in our bones. So I came here to tell some people tonight. The Bible tells us the just shall live by faith. We don't retreat. We don't cower. We don't compromise. Listen, we press on. We overcome. We stand firm. We walk in obedience. We live holy. We shine bright. And we lift high the name of Jesus in a world that's desperate for truth. Amen. This is the call. This is the hour. This is the dividing line. We're either rising in victory or collapsing in defeat. It's time to put the games behind us. Amen? The Bible tells us, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:11, he said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. Oh, but when I became a man," hallelujah, "when I became a man," amen, "I put away childish things." See, it's time for the church to put away childish things. And it's time to step into what we've been called to do. Not tomorrow, not later, not when it's convenient, but right now, hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. This is the call to commitment. This is the moment of decision. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, "Are you reigning or retreating?" Are you reigning or retreating? I would that you would pray for me and with me. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, and we just thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for your word, God. I feel your presence all over me now, Lord, and I thank you for that, Lord. And I ask you to help me deliver this message as you would have it delivered, God. I pray, God, that you speak through me, Lord, a word that would penetrate the hearts and the minds of every person in this room tonight, God. I ask you, Lord, to have your way in this service. Holy Ghost, we invite you in here, Lord, and we just ask you, Lord, to do a work in this place, Lord. We thank you for what you've done, and we thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. And the church says, amen. You may be seated. Church, we're not saved just to survive, but we're saved to reign. We're not redeemed to blend in, but we're redeemed to shine bright. Oh, listen, we're not filled with the Spirit to remain silent, but we're filled to be His witnesses with boldness and with power. The Bible says, though, that there's a desperate cry going out. We read about what Paul had happened to him in Acts 16 and 9. This is a verse that's been very heavy on my heart. The Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" And today, that same cry is going out. Amen? It's echoing through every street, every broken home, every back alley, every school, every neighborhood, every hurting heart. See, this cry isn't just found in Macedonia. It's found in our hometowns. Amen? It's found in the family down the street struggling with addiction. It's in the single mom who's drowning in depression. It's in the teenager who's dealing with depression, because nobody has told them that they're loved. It's in the man that's enslaved, in and bound by sin, who doesn't even know there's a better way. The cry is simply this: somebody, please, I just need a little help. And I believe that there's some under the sound of my voice that may have that cry in this room tonight. See, the world is bleeding and we have the only cure. The world is lost and we know the only way home. The world is crying and we carry the only hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. But while the world is crying out, the church is drawing back. We're too scared to speak. We're too wrapped up in our own comfort. We're afraid to lose our reputation, our following, or our position. We ask, what will this cost me? Will people think I'm crazy? But the fact is, God left the gospel in our hands. See, that person bound in sin may have never had one person stop and tell them that there's a better way. They may not know that the God of heaven loves them so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. They may not know that no matter how broken they are, no matter how messed up their life is, no matter how deep the sin, no matter how hopeless the addiction, they are still loved and there is a way out. And church, it's our responsibility to tell them. It's not someone else's job. It's not the preacher's job alone. If you're saved, if you've been set free, then you've been called to carry this gospel. See, this world is not going to be reached by silence, but it's going to be reached by fire. And that fire starts when we stop retreating and we start reigning. When the church steps up to the plate, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. But what does help really look like? It's not just handing out a smile or offering a prayer from a distance. It's not just inviting someone to church and hoping they come or that the pastor reaches them. The help that this world needs is the kind that only comes through the power of God. Can I tell you, I just feel this in my spirit. We're in revival right now. And I believe the Lord, we know he wants to do a mighty work. And I know that he will. But the Bible tells us to go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that his house might be full. It doesn't say just invite them. It says compel them to come in. But see, the kind of power that I'm talking about is real power. Kingdom power. Holy Ghost power. We're called to share the gospel. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But how many in here know we're also called to do the gospel? Because the next couple of verses, in verses 17 and 18, Jesus said, and these signs, hallelujah, shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And I want you to understand this. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He wasn't just describing apostles. He was describing believers. This is the gospel in action. This is what reigning in Christ looks like. Walking into darkness with the light of heaven, laying hands on the sick and watching them be healed, casting out demons in Jesus' name and seeing chains break in an instant, speaking life where there's death, praying with boldness until the Holy Ghost fills. Until the lame walk, until the lost are found. This is the call of the kingdom. This is what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 10:8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely have you received, freely give. Hallelujah. And I want you to understand that these are not optional suggestions, but these are commands from the one that we call King. But I'm afraid that we're too scared to touch the leper. We're too nervous to speak to the demonized. But listen, Jesus did not leave us powerless. Do we have faith? Do we have faith? Do we believe this is true? Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And with that power, we are to witness, we are to war, we are to work, and we are to win souls with fire and authority. Yet here we are walking on eggshells when we've been called to walk in victory. Here we are playing defense when Jesus called us to take territory. Here we are living cautiously when the cross demands that we live courageously. So I want to ask you today in this place, are you living by faith or by fear? Are you walking in power or just going through the motions? See, this is our responsibility. This is our assignment. This is our moment. The gospel must be preached. The sick must be healed. The captives must be set free. The world is crying, "Come help us." And the church must answer with fire in our hearts and Jesus Christ in our lips. See, it's time to reign, not retreat. Paul said, "I don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but with demonstration of power and of the Spirit." It's time that we start doing the gospel. Oh, I feel this, y'all. It's time that we start doing the gospel. Oh, my goodness. But how many in here know that the church must be set apart before she can be sent out? See, before we can carry this gospel to a lost world, before we can walk in the power of the Holy Ghost, before we lay hands on the sick and see them recover or confront the powers of darkness and command them to flee, we must first lay ourselves down fully, wholly, and unreservedly at the feet of the one who gives us the power. We say we want to reign with Christ, but we often forget what Paul declared in Galatians 2:20. He said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Hallelujah. I want you to know that reigning begins with dying. Dying to sin, dying to self, dying to our way, our will, and our control. And it continues with enduring, not slipping back into perdition. And a side note, perdition here. Can we put the opening text back up there? Perdition here in the opening text is apaleia in the original Greek. And it simply means eternal loss or ruin. Eternal loss or ruin. So if there's somebody under the sound of my voice that's slipped back, oh, listen, turn back around today. Turn back around today. See, you cannot walk in the kingdom while still clinging to secret sin. You cannot reign in Christ if you're still sitting on the throne of your own heart. You can't lead others out of bondage if you're still living bound yourself. And tragically, instead of calling people to die to self, many churches have started preaching a false gospel that lets them stay alive in the flesh. Church, we've entered into a dangerous hyper-grace movement. One that promises freedom, but never demands surrender, and so freedom is never found. One that excuses sin instead of confronting it. One that comforts the flesh instead of crucifying it. Instead of taking responsibility for our sin, we've taken refuge in a twisted version of grace. Instead of taking the Word of God for what it says, we've reinterpreted it to fit what we want. Why? Because it's easy. Because it's comfortable. But grace was never meant to make sin acceptable. Grace is the power of God to break sin's chains. Hallelujah. Titus 2, 11 and 12 tells us, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." See, grace doesn't lower the standard, but grace lifts us up to walk in it. Amen? The call to follow Jesus has always been a call to lose your life in order to find it. I think of the verse, Luke 9:23, Jesus tells us. He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." This is not a suggestion for the elite Christian. Does everybody know there is no such thing as an elite Christian? You either are or you aren't. Amen? But this is the standard for any man that wants to come after him. First, he said, deny yourself. That's repentance. Turning from you being Lord of your life to Him being Lord. Then he said, take up your cross daily. The cross is a symbol of death. Dying to self and stepping in and carrying His purpose. Amen? And get this, you can't carry your cross and your compromise at the same time. And then he said, follow me. How many in here know that we can't follow Him unless we make Him the leader? So how do we follow Him, brother? Right here. The Holy Word of God. John 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John 1 and 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." We follow this book. Amen. We obey His truth. Amen. We submit to His authority. See, when we follow the Bible, we're following Christ. We've got to stop treating obedience like an option and start living like Jesus really is the leader of our lives. See, the world doesn't need more empty talk. It doesn't need another pep rally. I'm not here to fire up everybody, but I'm here to see lives changed. I'm here to see real revival, amen? I think of the verse in the book of Acts where the Pharisees said, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here also." That's what we're called to be. World changers in the name of Jesus Christ. But what the world needs is men and women whose lives bear the weight of the glory they proclaim. As Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 5, "There will be those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. From such turn away." We're living in that hour. Many are trapped in cycles of sin, spiritual dryness, and powerlessness, not because the gospel has failed, but because we have settled for religion without surrender, for church without repentance, for comfort without the cross. And how many in here know that there is no resurrection if there's not a cross? Amen. But we've stopped believing in the true power of God to transform our lives. We preach the blood, but we won't let it cleanse us. We talk about the Spirit, but we resist His sanctifying fire. We wear the name of Jesus, but we refuse to make Him Lord of our lives. We want resurrection power, but we won't go to the cross. We want to cast out demons, but we won't even cast down our own idols. We want His Spirit, but we still want our sin. But hear the word of the Lord. There is no power without purity. There is no authority without submission. There is no reigning without dying. And hear me. I don't want you to get confused in here tonight. God isn't looking for perfect vessels, but He's looking for surrendered ones. The gospel we preach must first be the gospel we live. It must be alive in our hearts, present in our homes. It must reign in our private life. It must govern how we speak. Oh, two people just got mad at me. How we walk, how we treat others, and how we respond when no one is watching. Because everybody in here knows that Jesus won't be our Savior unless we first make Him our Lord. And when He becomes Lord, everything else bows. Our will, our desires, our dreams, our habits, our relationships, our entire life, everything must come under His rule. This is the call of Christ. Not partial devotion, not comfortable Christianity, but total surrender. This is what Paul meant in Romans 12:1. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not extreme. It's not radical. It's reasonable. And it's the only right response to the cross. I feel something stirring in here tonight, y'all. So I ask you tonight, not casually, but with eternal urgency, is He truly Lord of your life? He can be tonight. Have you fully surrendered? You can tonight. Have you truly repented? Not just confessed, but turned. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is asking this question right now. Are you reigning or are you drawing back into perdition? Are you walking in victory or are you limping in spiritual defeat? Brother, if you could give me a little music. I want you to know that this isn't a message of condemnation. I mentioned this morning, Jesus doesn't condemn. The Bible says in John 3:17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But He gives us truth and love to bring us into saving relationship with Himself. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Because God isn't willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, He loves you so much that He wouldn't settle for your destruction. And maybe you've been hearing this message and you're starting to feel overwhelmed. Maybe deep down you're thinking, I want to reign, but I've already failed. I want to walk in power, but I've been limping for so long. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, your preacher included. But can I tell you something today? Listen. Jesus loves you, and He wants to change your life in this place tonight. And He will do it if you'll let Him. See, He saw your sin and He loved you still. He saw the addiction, the depression, the secrets, and He chose the nails anyway. He saw the moments you would try to hide, the tears you'd cry when no one else knew, and the times you felt too dirty, too broken, too far gone. And yet, He didn't turn away. He walked all the way to Calvary for you. Oh, praise God. His back was ripped open with Roman whips. His face beaten, spat on, unrecognizable. a crown of thorns driven into his scalp, nails hammered through his hands and feet, his body hanging in agony between heaven and earth. Why? Because he loves you, and he wants to save you. He said, no man takes my life, but my life I lay down for the sheep. He chose the cross for you. And with every drop of blood that fell to the ground, the mercy of God was shouting, paid in full. Every addiction, every failure, every secret sin, every regret, paid in full. Hallelujah. See, he didn't suffer just to show you his love. He suffered to purchase your freedom. Oh, come on, somebody. He was whipped so you could be healed. He was shamed so you could be restored. He was pierced so your sins could be forgiven. He was crushed so you could be made whole. He was lifted up so you could be raised up with him. Amen? He died so you can live. Ah, oh, but listen. The cross wasn't the end. But it was the victory. Hallelujah. But hear me in this place tonight. He didn't endure all that for you to live in defeat. He didn't shed blood so you could limp through life feeling hopeless and bound. He came to set you free. But somebody help me praise God that wasn't the end of the story. Hallelujah. 3 days later, he started to breathe again. And the Bible says that he stood up, hallelujah, and he took the time to fold the napkin. Why did he do that? Because he is all authority, hallelujah. He didn't get in a hurry, amen. And the Bible says he walked right out of there. And I want you to know tonight that he rose so you could rise. So you could walk again. So you can breathe again. So you can live again. So you could reign in the strength of the one who conquered death, hell, and the grave for you. See, Jesus came to rescue you. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. I can feel the Holy Ghost pushing me. Jesus came to rescue you. He came to bring you life and bring it to you more abundantly. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, to give beauty for ashes, to give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But hear me on this. You must make a decision. You can't walk in victory if you're still clinging to the things that keep you bound. You can't have Jesus in one hand and the world in the other. So tonight, I believe he's calling you. With nail-scarred hands stretched wide, he's saying, come to me. Let me forgive you. Let me heal you. Let me carry that load. Let me take the grief, that shame, and let me transform your life. I believe there'll be a testimony come out of this service. But the fact is, you have to respond. So let me ask you again. Are you walking in victory? Or have you been limping in defeat? Because the cross has made a way. But the choice is still yours. Will you come? Will you lay it down? Will you surrender? Not part of your heart, but all of it. Not some of your sin, but all of it. Not just enough to feel better, but enough to be made new. See, Jesus loves you far too much to let you stay where you are. He paid too high a price for you to settle for less than freedom. And now is no time to draw back into perdition. No more casual Christianity. No more compromise. No more halfway living. It's time to rise. It's time to return to our first love. It's time to run again. And it's time to reign. Hallelujah. I would that everyone stand, bow your head, and close your eyes. I know God's touching people in this place today. I can see the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to drag this out. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come and get you. I'm just going to simply ask you to make a decision. Indecision is still a decision. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if God is dealing with you in this place, and you would say, brother, that's me. That's me. There's something in my life I need to make right with God tonight. I would simply ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to come and get you. We're all going to pray together in just a minute. Would there be any? Nobody looking around. Hallelujah. Would there be any? Thank you for that hand. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Don't miss your moment. Who am I preaching to in this place? I know that God is dealing with people. Would there be any that would say, brother, that's me. That's me. Your message touched me, God. Lord, I want to make something right with you tonight. Would there be any others? Would there be any others? Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Have your way in this place tonight. I'm going to tarry just for a moment because I know that God is dealing with some people. And I know that he wants to change some lives in this place tonight. I'm telling you, I believe there'll be testimony come out of this service. Because I felt the Holy Spirit so strong. Would there be any others that would say, brother, that's me. There are some things in my life that I just need to make right. Hallelujah. We're going to pray this prayer together, every voice lifted together in the house of God, and then I'm going to invite people to come to this altar. I'm telling you, we don't just preach the gospel, we do the gospel. So if you're in need of anything, you make your way to this altar. Do not miss your moment. I'm telling you, the Lord is in this house tonight. I believe he's going to do some work. But let's everybody lift their voice together and pray this prayer. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. I repent. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that through what you did on the cross, I can be forgiven, cleansed, and changed. Tonight, I commit my life to you in fullness and in truth. I thank you for saving me and changing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God some praise in this house? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that in the midst of all that glory, that when one sinner repents, that there's a great rejoicing in heaven. Amen? If they're rejoicing in heaven right now, we ought to be rejoicing. Amen? Hallelujah. But listen, we talked a lot about reigning tonight. About not just sharing the gospel, but doing the gospel. Does everybody know that the Holy Spirit is vital? I just feel in my spirit that to invite you to come and seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit tonight. Because if you want to see a church on fire, if you want to see things happen, get a church full of the Holy Ghost and watch out. Oh my goodness, I feel the Lord. I could run in this place right now. So if you haven't been baptized by the Holy Ghost, I implore you to come up here and let us lay hands on you. Because if we want to reign, it starts with the Holy Ghost. It starts with repentance, coming fully to Christ, and then the Holy Ghost. That's the recipe for revival. Ooh, I felt that. Come on, somebody. That's the recipe for revival. We want to see our land healed? Come and receive the Holy Ghost. If you have need of anything, come. Prayer team, come on up. We're going to open this altar up right now. If you have need of anything, come on up. Brother, if you would turn the music up quite a bit.